Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Jeremy Dice of First Liberty, and we're going to talk about a religious liberty type case out of Texas. This is Vocal Point. And Jeremy, tell us about this recent case. I guess the First Liberty that you're a part of has now filed suit on behalf of a worker in McLennan County in Texas. Tell us about this.
Yeah, Diane Hensley is a justice of the peace in McLennan County. That's the Waco area. And when she came into office in 2015, she was excited to be able to officiate some weddings. But if you recall our history as a country, that's right when the Obergefell decision that redefined same-sex marriage and approved of same-sex marriage came in later that summer. And so her, as well as many other justices of the peace and others who are approved under statute to do weddings, to officiate weddings, they all had a little bit of a concern. What do we do with this? And especially those that had a religious objection to officiating same-sex weddings, they decided that the best course of action, based upon some advice that they received from their association, was simply to do none at all. And so most everybody stopped officiating weddings entirely. It's an option under the statute. It's not a duty, so they could do that. But that didn't sit well with Diane, and she knew that she could not officiate same-sex weddings. But at the same time, she didn't want to force that upon everybody else, and she realized that that there was probably a better way to be able to handle that and meet the needs of her community. And so she developed a system, a very good system, and worked really hard on her own and went to some expense on her own to make this happen. For instance, she worked out a deal with a walk-in wedding chapel just 3 blocks away from her office, that if she referred people there that same day, they could be able to be wed. And it would be no problem. The same cost would be there. She was actually going to cover the extra cost out of her own pocket, but the wedding chapel that allows walk-in weddings, they agreed to just simply meet her rate, which is a little lower than their normal one. So there you had it, an alternative, low-cost alternative rate. And then that was working great. And no one really complained about it except for the Texas Commission on Judicial Conduct. They took it upon themselves to launch an investigation. And then much later, they ended up issuing a public warning to her, saying that she is now somehow given an indication of bias against others for having this system in place. That's just simply not the case. She found a way to be able to reconcile her personal beliefs while meeting the needs of her community, and she was punished for that. That's not right.
You know, I bet you at First Liberty, you guys must be approached with a lot of potential cases. Some you take, some you don't take. So why did you take this particular one?
Well, look, I think she, like every other justice of the peace around the state, or at least those who have some religious convictions that inform their lives, they're wondering, what about them? I mean, if this public warning, which is a lower-level reprimand by the state, if that can come to harm them now, what can come after that? What's worse? And so what we've said in our complaint is that we need clarity, not only for Diane, but also for justices of the peace and other officials throughout the state, that this substantial burden, we believe this public warning, this discipline, this reprimand that's issued upon her amounts to a substantial burden on the free exercise of her religion, and there's no compelling justification for it. And so we're asking the court to review that and to declare one way or another, is this a substantial burden or isn't it? Are people going to be forced to violate their conscience or get out of the wedding officiation business altogether or not? Or are they going to be compelled by the Commission on Judicial Conduct to violate their convictions and or otherwise be disqualified from office entirely? Those are all the issues that are at stake right now with Diane Hensley, and we hope to be able to provide a lot of clarity for them.
You know, it's interesting to think that that decision Obergefell that you mentioned, the same-sex marriage decision, that was 5-4. The four that voted against it were Chief Justice Roberts, Samuel Alito, Clarence Thomas, and Scalia. Scalia was alive at the time. Okay, so here's a question for you. Since justices of the Supreme Court can actually officiate over weddings, suppose somebody asked Clarence Thomas, hey, we're a same-sex couple. We want to be married. And he would have said, no, I'm sorry. I don't believe in that. You know, would he be reprimanded too? I mean, I'm just wondering.
Well, if he were a magistrate or a justice of the peace down here in Texas, I think the answer is yes. Now, I don't know what is going to govern him up there in Washington, D.C. as a justice of the peace, but according to the Commission on Judicial Conduct, yes, that is in fact creating a level of bias or indicating the level of bias against those who come into her courtroom, and that just simply is not the case. Rather, she had a system that worked. It worked well to reconcile her personal beliefs with meeting the needs of her local community. There's got to be a way in our 21st century America for us to be able to accommodate everyone's religious beliefs, no matter how deeply held they are, with the needs of even the LGBT community. And that should be something that we'd be happy to arrive at a third way. It doesn't have to be in this situation. Either you are disqualified from office for having a religious conviction, or you must do every single thing that is against your religious conviction. That can't be the only way that things work out. Diane found a middle way, and we ought to be able to follow that way as a means of just basic fairness, if nothing else.
Hmm. Yeah, what about tolerance? Tolerance for Diane and tolerance for people who believe like she does.
Yeah, one would think that that would be the thing that is offered here. Look, again, anyone who wanted to be married in McLennan County was able to get married under this system. No one was turned away. They may have had to walk maybe three extra blocks down the street, but at the same time, if they were qualified to be married in Diane's courtroom, they could be married that same day in that walk-in wedding chapel. There was no delay. There was no additional cost. It all happened just fine without any kind of problem whatsoever. In fact, I mean, I think if you think about it, she probably has accounted for more same-sex weddings in McLennan County than any other justice of the peace, because all the rest of them decided to just stop doing weddings entirely. And so you have someone here who developed a rather proactive solution to a profound question that involves a lot of eternal matters. And for doing so, she was punished by the Commission on Judicial Conduct. That's not fair, and it's not right.
I'm sure she doesn't agree with those same-sex marriages. I mean, and is not happy that they occurred, but she's willing to do her job and sees that as the needs, the way she has to, work around this terrible Supreme Court decision. I mean, I'm sure you don't agree with that Supreme Court decision. I think it's an act of judicial, activism, at least, tyranny.
Yeah, look, Diane has certain religious convictions, and one of those is that she cannot officiate or participate in a same-sex wedding. That's fine, and I think we as a country ought to recognize, as Justice Kennedy himself did in the Obergefell opinion, that people of goodwill are going to have disagreements on these things on eternal levels, and that's okay for us to have those disagreements. But we ought not to be, as many are calling for, disqualifying people who have a religious conviction on these matters from holding public office entirely. That certainly is not the best solution whatsoever here. Rather, Diane found the way that I think is probably the best way possible. Look, she has a number of friends within the LGBT community here, and she thinks no ill will of them whatsoever. She just simply has an issue of eternal disagreement with them on these things ideologically,
yeah.
And that's okay. We can have those disagreements. What we ought not be doing is driving good people out of office for simply having a religious conviction, especially when there's an option available to everyone to get what they need. She had her religious convictions accommodated while accommodating the needs of others as well through no delay or no extra cost. It worked out well. I don't understand then why the Commission on Judicial Conduct felt the need to issue this public warning against her and holds over her head, frankly, worse disciplines, including removal from office if she continues as she'd like to, this referral system.
Mm. So where did the complaint arise? Do you have any idea? I mean, did somebody just find out about it? Was it written up? Was it in Facebook? What?
Our best guess, and I think it's only that, but our best guess is that the commission or one of the commissioners read about this the system on a newspaper article, and they took it upon themselves to initiate this complaint of their own, and then went through about an 18-month investigation of her, culminating in a rather lengthy trial this past summer, and issuing a public warning this past the beginning of December of this month. And so that lengthy trial of reviewing someone who did something that seems to be very laudable under the systems that are in place right now, I think is entirely backwards, and we ought to be thankful that someone is able to find a way to reconcile their religious convictions with meeting the needs of their local community.
Okay, so when did First Liberty get involved?
Well, we filed this case back at the beginning of this week on Tuesday, So that, I can think that was what the 18th or so, the 17th. And you know, we're off to the races now, trying to find out from the court whether or not we're going to find find people like this disqualified from office, or if we're going to say no, this is perfectly acceptable, and the laws like the Texas Religious Freedom Restoration Act do in fact protect people of goodwill and of religious conviction from being substantially burdened through penalties like the one the Commission on Judicial Conduct issued against Diane.
And I should note, since you mentioned December, or you mentioned the 17th, we're talking about December 17th of 2019. This will be airing at a later date. But is there any last point you want to make? And by the way, that whole Religious Freedom Restoration Act, that it was popular, you know, 20 years ago, even at the federal level, but it's been, you know, shut down in a lot of different places, including, I believe, at the federal level.
Yeah, that's very regrettable. The federal level, it applies to federal actors right now, and that's why the need for state RFRAs are so very important to protect state actors like Diane and others that that need this clarity. Look, I would just encourage folks to make the decision for their own. Go to firstliberty.org/Hensley and look over the materials we have there, including some video that we have there of Diane, and think really through how, as a public official like Diane, how do we work together as a country, as a community, to figure out ways to accommodate the religious convictions of one while meeting the needs of a community, even those that we may have areas of disagreement with. I think the model of Diane Hensley and her friends, and one of whom you'll see on the website there, I think is one that ought to be rather inspiring for us to figure out a way to be able to disagree on eternal matters without feeling the need to be denigrating or to somehow be so objectionable as to be without an opportunity to share in a way of commonality here. There's a third way. Diane, I think, found it, and for that she was punished. But no judge should be having their career ruined for simply following the rules of her faith as well as the rule of the law.
It seems like there's this scorched earth policy these days, you know, where if, oh, you don't agree with this, you know, liberal agenda, then we're going to make an example out of you and just destroy you and so forth. It's terrible what's happening. Talk about the politics of personal destruction.
Yeah, that's awful and entirely unnecessary. Again, we simply want to be able to have a society, I think, that allows people of goodwill to have their convictions protected, and the law does that for us. But at the same time, we understand that there is a need to be able to have those who have a difference of opinion as we do to have their needs met as well. And that doesn't mean that someone who has a religious conviction must be forced to violate those convictions or kicked out of public office entirely. That's not right, and it's not fair at a basic level. Diane's way, I think, is the right way, and we'll see if the courts agree.
All right, Jeremy Dice, First Liberty, firstliberty.org. Thank you, Jeremy. All the best.
Thank you.